Welcome back to Rude Dude.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Podcast, the show that inspires self-discovery, one authentic dialogue at a time. I am your host, Henry Henlobster Sheridan, alongside my partner, Cameron the Cree Davis, and we are recovering alcoholics who are passionate about helping people and spreading a message of hope. On today's episode, we have a very special guest, Ray Glimpf. Ray is a real estate investor with a rags-to-riches story who now has the freedom to live life the way he chooses. Ray shares many of the things that make him successful, and Cam and I draw parallels to the principles we often talk about in recovery. Prepare to be inspired, and please enjoy Ray Glimpf. Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast. We are your hosts, Cameron and Henry, two recovering alcoholics who are passionate about helping people. We have a great episode for you today. But first, how you doing there, Cam?
Well, man, I am fighting a cold virus today. I'm stuffed up, feeling pretty hot, but I'm here, man. I'm excited about today's episode. How are you doing, bro?
I'm doing all right, man. If it makes you feel better, I almost sliced my lip off shaving in the shower. So there's that.
Yeah.
And I also had this weird, like, I got a little bit of random, unexplainable anxiety today. But yeah. We're powering through and I feel good and I'm happy to be here today.
Well, dude, you're razoring your face in the fucking shower, dude?
Yeah, I shave blind and I normally do it quite well, but I was kind of in a hurry and it didn't go too hot.
Oh, nice, dude. I don't see any huge gashes, so it looks like you did all right. The unexplained anxiety, that's always good. I finally got out of that loop that we were talking about last week, so I know how you're feeling. It'll pass, bro. Don't stress on it.
It'll pass. Well, we have an awesome guest today. I asked him to come on because he's kind of an inspiration to me. He is a real estate investor. He's a serial entrepreneur. He owns bars and restaurants, and he's someone I kind of look up to in this Morgantown community, and I think he has an awesome story that'll be really beneficial to our listeners, so I give you Ray Glimpf.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Ray?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome, man.
How you doing today, man?
Good. Happy to be here. Hopefully we can, you know, add some value to your listeners.
I think you're going to actually do it. Henry's been hyping me up. And so it's a little off the cuff because, yeah, we're a recovery podcast. But I think you're going to have a lot to offer. So I'm excited to get into this one, man. Thanks again for coming on.
I appreciate the invite.
So Ray and I met maybe 5 years ago or so in the BNI group. Mm-hmm. And I was there representing the construction company I worked for because my boss didn't want to do it. So I started doing that. And he was there with his company Get Fit, which was juices and shakes. And it's kind of cool to think about because he is so many miles away from Get Fit juices and shakes now. So That's pretty cool. The BNI is Business Networking International. And the connections that I made from there, even though it wasn't even really my gig, have come with me today, and I still have a few people. Someone from there cleans my Airbnb, someone just booked my travel, and it's a really cool thing that supports everybody, that everyone supports each other's business. And so that's the kind of mindset that I met you in, and that's the kind of mindset you've kind of been in ever since. So is that something you think really propelled you on this journey you're on now?
I have to say, you know, being around like-minded individuals, people who want better for themselves, is somewhat harder to find in this world that we live in. You know, we see a lot of people, I guess they're just stuck in their way, almost the crabs in a barrel syndrome. And they like you to be there. You know, misery loves company. They like you to be there. So finding individuals who can, you know, motivate you, and being around those people to help you scale, people who, you know, maybe doing better in life than you, that is a huge, it could be so much value, tremendous value just from that group and just the network alone.
Yeah, well, I see it, like the success you've had, the success Braun has had, Julie, who owns Sparkle cleaning, where she's come from, where she was at that point, that's who does my Airbnbs. And her business has expanded so much, it's crazy. So like I said, it's really inspiring to see that and be around those kind of people. And it's like the old adage, if you hang around four millionaires, you'll be the fifth. If you hang around four negative people, you'll be the fifth, and so on and so forth.
All right. Well, I was just going to jump kind of right in. I think that is a universal truth, right? Like the company you keep is the company you're going to get, or at least the vision that you're producing for yourself. But since I don't know you, Ray, can you tell us just a quick little synopsis about your story? How'd you get to where you are today? Just a quick little rundown. Yeah, of that.
Journey has been quite a path. So a lot of people who don't know me, I guess the easiest way to tell people is I was homeless at a time, and I have over 100 doors, right? And so you know, I grew up in I wouldn't say we were the poorest, but we lived paycheck to paycheck, as most average Americans are now. And from New York City, and after September 11th, my dad lost his job. And, at that point we were homeless. So he had a good job, but I mean, we hit that recession period and it was hard for him to find work. And, you know, that was like my first sign of struggle. And, you know, we triumphed over that. And, then, you know, I was working jobs, dead end jobs, pretty much, you know, paycheck to paycheck. It never really got better. And I had an opportunity to come to West Virginia. My cousin, he was going to school here, so he invited me here. He was in a one bedroom in West Run. And it was three of us in that one bedroom. And so, yeah, and it was like whoever got home first, they got the bed. The second person got the couch, and the third person sleeping on the floor. Ooh, right. And yeah. I moved here, man. I moved here with nothing. I had 50 cents and maxed out credit cards. So when the struggle was real, there was no easy, there's no shortcuts to success. It was a lot of hard work. But I worked my butt off, and always told myself if I ever, you know, had the opportunity to make money, I would give back. And not knowing that the more you give is actually the more you receive. In all facets of life. And so, and actually given, I actually received, I've been blessed to receive so much back.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because I try to live by that as well. And I really think it's true. It seems counterintuitive, but it feels like the more generous you are, the more the universe puts it back to you. Mm-hmm. What inspires you? Like what made this drive in you? What made you the hustler that you are, you think?
So I always like to resort back to the journey, right? Because I think everybody is inspired by their journey, the people you're around, the things you go through. So I remember like that first time I was homeless, I remember I was probably about, guys, I was 12, maybe 13. And I had all my belongings in a black trash bag. And, you know, I had older sisters, but I'm a young kid, and I'm like, man, I never want my kids to go through this. And that was my biggest inspiration. And since that point, I think I was 12 or 13, about 15 or 16, I was working. I worked my butt off. I had, you know, and at that time I was making, you know, $7, $8 an hour. It wasn't much, but I was working, and I knew like, hey, look, whatever it took not to be in that situation again. And as I look back, you know, it was rough. We lived with it, but like there were rats in the wall. So I could hear the rats scratching through the wall. There were roaches, and I mean big ones, little ones. And, you know, we're a clean family. It's not like we lived in houses with roaches, but it was just like, holy smokes, but this is the scenario we're in. And, you know, there were people in that building that accepted that as life. Mm-hmm. And we didn't, but it was just, that was a scenario we're in. It was, I think that was we were at the shelter. And like they put you in like temporary housing. I think that was like a two bedroom for six of us. Right. So I know me and my sister, we slept on a couch. Me and my other sisters, they slept in one bed. My parents had the other bedroom. But it was just like, man, I never want to go through this. And so that was like my first like motivation. And I knew nothing else except for work your butt off, because you don't want to be in that situation.
There's actually like a great correlation to how you responded to that, to our kind of our recovery based fan base here. A lot of kids who grow up with addicts and alcoholic parents, right? Like they see it, and they either do the exact opposite of what their parents did. Not saying that your situation was your parents' fault, right? Like, hey, I, you know, the recession, things happen. A lot of people were really struggling during that time. Or they follow their family's footsteps, right? Now, like I said, it wasn't your family's fault, but what you did is you looked around and you said, well, there's one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to live like this. And you could see these people sitting there accepting that as that as their fate. And I think that's really admirable of you. And I think that's fantastic. And I think it actually stands, it's kind of a tried and true stroke to your ego, bro, because, you know, you sat there, you looked and you made a mission and you made a plan and you got after it.
Yeah. And I, like I said, we see a lot of people now, as we go full circle, there are a lot of people who are just stagnant in life. Like, they accept life as for what it is, you know. And I think my parents, they did all they knew, you know. And they kind of accepted if they would have did more. And I always look back, I'm like, man, if you guys would have did more. But they did all they knew. And I think that's what happens with a lot of people. And I, social media is a positive and a negative. I like the positive in it. Is because it shows people that there's more than what you know in life, right? You got to think 20 years ago, they didn't have much access to a different lifestyle. I mean, you might get a magazine and it was like impossible, but now you can open your phone and see this lifestyle that's there, right? That gives you that drive, that passion. For some people, it gives them the drive and passion.
I have this random take that you've just reminded me of. I see all this stuff lately about, oh, inflation is crazy, you know, wages haven't gone up, but houses are 10 times more expensive and this, and that's all true, right? But on the other side of that, to me, a lot of that feels like a victim mentality sort of mindset, because there are plenty of people like you who weren't handed anything and worked their ass off and are doing just fine. So is it harder for the average person to get by on an average job? Yes, it is. But also, it's not impossible to work hard and make a life for yourself. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. So when you mention that, it's average, right? And I'll give you some statistics, right? The average American has less than $1,000, right? Saved. The average American cannot afford a $4,000 emergency. They would be bankrupt. I think that's 76% of America. So if you look, there's 330 million Americans, 76% of them, millions, over, I think 200 million, cannot afford a $4,000 emergency. They're bankrupt. It's game over. There's Americans with houses, Americans with kids. So if something happens to their kid, they're in trouble. They are living an average lifestyle with an average mentality. So you have to think beyond average. And a lot of times people get comfortable saying, I'm comfortable. That's an issue, you know? And so you have to break that mold. I know this is like a recovery channel too. And it may speak to someone, you know, they're comfortable. They might be comfortable in that situation. It whatever, you know, drug might take away that pain, but you have to be uncomfortable to some extent to get to that next level. Right. And so for me, I got uncomfortable, and that's what took me to that next level.
You hit the nail on the head right there, man. Quitting drugs or alcohol is the most uncomfortable thing that we have to do as addicts.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And it's another age old saying that I like to lean on, is that everything good is on the other side of hard. It's so cheesy, but so true, man. And especially in your instance, right? Like grinding and hustling and working your ass off. And Henry, I think there's something to what you said. It is true. It's that it's kind of like a disease of complacency, right? And then when the complacency comes and bites you in the ass, we're really quick as humans to sit there and go, well, this is just the way it is. And I think the point of this conversation, or at least a highlight of it so far, is that, well, it doesn't have to be like that. Just like I didn't have to stay like an alcoholic for as many years as I did. And you didn't, and Ray didn't have to accept that, hey, I'm just going to be homeless and I'm going to stay here, blah, 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 blah. You know, you get what I'm saying. Now, you do a lot of real estate, Ray. How did you get started in that?
So that was another level of like being uncomfortable. And I'll give you the background on that too. I was with a group of 8 guys, all different professions, restaurant owners, lawyers, some guys were in politics, some work for the government. And we were just at a local bar just talking one night. And a conversation came up as like, hey guys, we could all buy this property and refinance it and renovate it. And they threw around terms that I had no idea about. But I knew two things. These guys were smarter than me and they were richer than me, right? So I surrounded myself with the right circle. And here's a kicker, right? And this is what life throws at you. I got all into it. And when it came time to actually, they were like, hey, look, we can all put together $5,000 each. And then, you know, we can come together and form this team. When it came time to put that $5,000 together, I told them, I'm like, hey, guys, I'm ready. Everybody backed out. Every single one of them. But I was so committed at this time that I knew, like, look, this is the chance. I have to do this thing. And so I took a risk, right? I took a leap of faith. Of course, I analyzed it. And I bought my first property. It was $25,000. I saved up $25,000. I had like loans, lines of credits. I put all my money I could together. I probably could have went bankrupt doing this, right? But I put all that money together and I bet on myself. And it paid off.
How long ago was this?
So this was about, I want to say about, I just watched the video. It was about 7 years ago. And I'll tell you, I bought that property for $25,000. I put another $25,000 into it. Way more than I should have, actually. I should have put a lot less into it. And I just saw that property is listed for about $150,000, right?
Nice.
So it's tripled in price over that 5-6 year period.
You still own that property?
I was a rookie in real estate and I didn't know any better and I sold it.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So learning lesson.
How did you learn everything that you know now? Did you have a specific mentor or is it a lot of trial and error, self-studying?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of my stuff, I came from trial and error, right? Before, right now we have so many resources. When I was doing this, there was no social media really I could go and look at. There was no Bigger Pockets or no outlook for real estate investors. You know, I didn't know how to find a mentor. So I got a lot of my stuff through trial and error. And right now, you know, I mentor people and my students, I help them avoid those pitfalls that I made. And so that's like the biggest value. And for anybody listening, I always advise, no matter what you're in, find a mentor, right? Find somebody who's been through what you have been through or what you're going through. And they can speed up your process to help you, or at least hold your hand to get you to the end.
Yeah. So that's kind of like a universal thing, right? Like we stand on the shoulders of giants, right? If we don't know what the hell we're doing, we need to talk to somebody who does so that we can avoid a little bit of that pain that you're talking about. I think that's so vitally important in every aspect of life. But that comes with setting our ego aside, right? Like I'm the smartest person in the fucking room. Well, in this instance, you know, when you recognize that you're not, that's where the true growth and the true change actually happens, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, sometimes it wasn't going through my process. It wasn't hard. Right. And I'll give you an example. And we can align it with everything, you know, drinking, you know, you might have an alcoholic or you might have somebody recovering from something else. It's not it is hard to recover from that, but it also is around the people that you're around, too. Right. The only reason I went to, you know, I like to drink or used to like to drink is because I was around people that were in the bar life, you know. Or like if I want to go out and hang out, it's always, hey, Kim, let's go get a drink instead of, hey, let's find something else. And, you know, that was accepted as the norm. Where right now, I think we're in a better, I think socially, and I actually talked with one of the representatives today, socially, we're in a different place where, you know, beer sales are lower. Right now, it's non-alcoholic drinks. You know, those are, that's where the culture is shifting. So I think we're in a better time than previously before.
Yeah, there's like a wave and kind of a fad going around, which is an awesome one. That's like people are choosing not to drink alcohol, not because they had a problem, but just because it's fucking poison and it's bad for you. And they, you know, just want to generally live a healthier lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I want to credit that too to social media as well. Social media has allowed us to be social, right? At a time, depending on where your listeners are at too, there might not be a group for them. You know, you guys, through social media and your podcast, you're putting this out on a platform and giving people a way to connect. Where before, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, there wasn't really a way to connect unless you were able to source that, right? You had to go find that. But now, we're able to
find the bar.
Yeah, exactly. But now we have, you know, resources where people can meet, resources where people can talk. And so that's such value. Like I said, I'm there's a lot of negatives to social media, but there's positives too. And if you use it the right way, social media is a drug, right? But yeah, you either be absolutely. The one selling it or you can be the one using it. I don't use social media, right? I don't let it use me, right?
I've been using social media to learn about podcasting. Mm-hmm. And I've actually just found a guy that I really like who, and one thing lesson I think all of us can take from this are people who are aspiring to grow their following on social media. This guy has provided a lot of value to me for free, yeah, which is in turn making me want to pay him to provide the next level of value. And the other thing I was going to say is not to put my dad down. He doesn't listen anyway, but he'll tell you this. He didn't do this enough in his life where he paid people that were better than him at things that he didn't understand to help him get further along. And he kind of wishes he would have now. So that's a lesson I try to take from that it's better when it makes sense that you can pay somebody that's better than you to help further your business that works it or saves you time, because time is money, then that's something that's definitely really advantageous.
Yeah, and it's not just business either. It could just be lifestyle coaches. Here's a quote that I got, and it was that amateurs don't have coaches. Professionals do, right?
Mm.
That's a powerful quote. So when you want to be better at something, you need somebody to coach you to be better. If you want to go to the gym, sure, you can go to the gym and you can walk on a treadmill and lift some weights, but are you really going to be better? Are you really going to hit your high pinnacle? But if you got a fitness trainer or a personal trainer, they're going to push you, right? They know how to get you there. So just remember, you know, are you going to be an amateur or do you want to be a professional? Do you want to be a professional in your life? What does it take you to get there?
Wow, I love that. And you know what's funny? We have the same phrase in recovery. And because in recovery, what do we have? We have sponsors. And the phrase goes, if you don't have your sponsor is a fucking idiot. Because that means you're sponsoring yourself, which makes you an idiot. Mm. So everyone needs a coach. It's funny that you have that. I love that. That's a great phrase and feeling inspired already. So another thing that I really love, and this is a common thread with all our guests, you just have like an aura of positivity. Mm-hmm. I never see you real frustrated, real upset. I never see you get down. I always see you working through problems with grace. Where does that come from and how do you maintain that?
All right. So here's the thing, right? One, you got 75 years if you're lucky on this planet. That's it. Mm-hmm. Every day, we're floating on a big ball that could end, life could end tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Stress is only one problem in one day, right? Everything can be solved. Death happens. Life happens. You can only stress the things that you can fix, right? What can you be better at? And so when you take that attitude of, hey, what can I do to make this better, right? How can I fix this? There are things that are going to happen in your life that are totally uncontrollable. And that's okay, right? People need to know, like, hey, that's okay. You know, I used to get real anxious about everything that happened in my life. But it doesn't matter, really. When I look back at it, I couldn't even tell you what I was anxious over last year. I couldn't tell you what I was anxious over last week. Yeah. Right? So remember that it's just one day. That problem is, and it may feel like a huge problem or monstrous problem, but the problems end, right? The question is, what can I do better so I don't go into that problem again? That's where the education and learning come in, right? And sometimes it becomes self-reflection. What can I do better? So I always ask myself, what can I do better? Is there something that I could have done? Because everything, honestly, when it falls down to it, everything that happens, if something negative happens, it's my fault. I put it into the universe. If I'm late for something, it's my fault. I should have left earlier. Oh, a car crash or something happened and I got a flat tire. No, it's my fault. I should have left earlier. Now I know, okay, moving forward, I'll leave earlier. So I accept responsibility and I accept that as my fate too. Hey, look, this is happening because I did what I did. So sure, let me make a change and make a positive change.
You know what, man? What we call people who aren't addicts and alcoholics, we call them normies, right? Well, there's a reason you have an aura of positivity, man. It's because you live the one day at a time lifestyle, brother, with that type of mindset, right? We're given 24 hours, brother, and it's there's gonna be these ever moving scenarios that are always going to be a constant in our life, and it's how we react, and it's exactly what you just espoused, right? Like it's hey, am I going to focus on this? And I love that you said, hey, I couldn't tell you what I was anxious about last week. Like I suffer with anxiety, right? Like it's an issue for me. I have my whole life. But ready? 99.99999% of the things that I was fucking worried about or real unnerved about with my anxiety never happened. And do you know how much distress I caused myself during those times, right? Yep. Just terrible. But if I can do what you just said and kind of what we're all taught, if I can just focus in on I'm alive right now and that is a blessing, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to worry about things that I can't control, or am I going to go and get after it? And that's why, and that's what you do, man. And that's what it sounds like you do. And that's why you have that aura of positivity, man. I'm glad you have that mindset, bro, because it does free you.
I appreciate it.
So something in me told me that you would be a good guest and that this would work for our audience. And this has proven my point. This is actually better than I expected, but you're talking about, this is the same principles that one of ours is life on life's terms. Like you said, life happens. And you made me think of like, you've lived through all of your worst days so far. I used to stress about, when I worked with my dad back home, we had a company. And I would call him up. I'd be like, oh my God, we have this, that. And we'd have complex jobs that are all, every single job was one off. That was all unique. And Dad, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I'd be freaking out. And my dad would say, Henry, have we ever not finished a job? Have we ever walked off a job without it being done? And I was like, no. He's like, we'll figure it out. It's no problem. And you just reminded me of that. And Cameron, like you said, the other principle I try to live by is, all right, I got this job interview tomorrow. I'm so scared. I don't know what's going to happen. No matter if I stress about it for 24 hours straight, or if I forget about it and don't think about it at all, I still don't control the results of what's going to happen. And whatever's going to happen is going to happen either way. So I might as well just not stress about it, because either way, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah. You know, I look at anxiety in some way too. Like sometimes I get anxious. Like, you know, I do public speaking and sometimes I get anxious. And there's two things I remember, right? You're the expert in your own life. That's it. You're the expert in your own life. Nobody can tell you, hey, boy, you didn't do this. Look, I'm the expert in my life. This is my story. And two, when you're with other people, they're just other people, right? So when you get anxious, let's say for an interview, I've been on that other side of the table, right? The person interviewing you is just as nervous as you. I understand that now. They are other people. So really it's like, hey, look, we're both the same. And I've learned at this point in my life, if I'm level with you and I come straight and this is my story, I'm telling you the truth behind what I've done, then it's easy, right? Yeah. I've done it. I've done the work. I didn't slack at all. I've done the work and the rest should flow.
And they wouldn't be asking you to do it if they didn't already believe that you were qualified.
Exactly.
I think we can forget that. You know, you highlighted a good point there that we're all just humans, right? Like we can think that we're somehow robots, like that other people are immune. Like the interviewer sitting across from the interviewee is a great example of that, right? Like hey, this person has the same emotions that you have, more than likely, right? And when you can demystify that and see each other as human beings, that's where the real change happens.
Yeah.
So the next question I have for you, because we got over on how you bought your first property, but in the beginning of this podcast, you mentioned that you have 100 properties.
Over 100.
Yeah. Give us a quick synopsis on how that happened, because we sold the first property and I assume we just turned that into more.
Yeah. Well, so I bought the first one and I'll tell you, well, first I wear a freedom shirt usually if you see me. Right. And so when I got into real estate, I wanted to be free. I was working, you know, I had three businesses at the time. Right. I was working nights. I didn't have my freedom, though. Right. And I know a lot of people that I mentor, they work. They, you know, but they want their freedom. Right. They make a lot of money, but they're not free. And I wanted my freedom. And so, you know, I got that first property and I got that first check. And it was $1,000 check. And I'll never forget the day. I was like, holy smokes, I just made $1,000 off of this. Right. And I was like, man, this feels good. And I want it again. So I went and bought another property. Used the same strategy. Line of credit, bought the property. It was cash flowing. So I was making $2,000 a month. And I was like, man, this feels really good. Maybe I need to scale. And so I continued doing that process over and over again. And I learned a lot on the way. And as I started to do it, the portfolio started to grow. And think about it like this, right? If you're growing a plant, you might just start with just a little droplet of water because it's just a seed. But as you continue to water that plant, it blossoms and it grows. So real estate has been my plant, right? I've put all my all into this. And I love, honestly, and you can ask my students, I love what I do. I can talk about real estate all day. And the energy and the work that I put into it has helped me become one of the masters in the space. And there's a saying, if you spend, I believe, an hour a day on something, you will beat the average person, right? I spend about 4 to 5 hours a day, whether it be in my car listening to podcasts such as this one, you know, reading books, talking to mentors, being around different people. I'm going to networking groups. I spend time on that. So that has helped me master my craft and scale.
For our listeners, sure, if they're sitting here thinking, man, I don't have 10,000, I don't have 5,000, whatever. If there's something that someone could do, mm-hmm, to start with little to no money and get on a path towards the financial freedom we're talking about, what would you recommend?
Two things. One, the easy way everybody will tell you is wholesaling, right? You'll hear it. You can get into wholesaling. That'll help you build cash, right? But here's the thing. It's a mindset shift. I can give people 10,000. I can give them 50,000 and they may spend it stupidly, right? It only happens when you have your mindset shift, right? So my mindset was from being homeless at a point was always like save money, right? Live a minimalistic lifestyle and save money, right? So I know people who make 100,000, 200, 300, 400. I know people who make a million and they live paycheck to paycheck, right? So the way I got my freedom was by scaling down my lifestyle. And it's they call it the 50-40-10 rule, right? You live on 50% of your income. That's it. Live within your means. You might want a nice house right now. If you want to get to the next level, you got to step back, right? You got to step back, appreciate where you're at right now, and learn how you can scale. If you're going out to eat, save that money. If you got Netflix, cancel your Netflix. If you really want to get to that next level that bad, there are sacrifices you have to make. I'm in a position now because I've sacrificed so much.
Yeah.
Right? And it's delayed gratification.
I think it's a great point on. Are you willing to put in the sacrifices, right? Like everybody gets in and say, be like, hey, you know, I want to get into real estate and how am I going to do that? Well, the path to that is going to mean, hey, we're not going to Starbucks and we're not going out to dinner every day. We're not door dashing. Mm-hmm. We're cutting Netflix. Mm-hmm. You're shopping at thrift stores and we're buying, you know, cheap groceries,
yeah,
and no Whole Foods trips. And you're going to do that for a while and you're going to learn to like it. Yep. And then the fruits of your labor actually do pay off. Now you're speaking my language because I'm a notorious tight ass. I love that. So you're motivating me. And actually after this podcast, I'm going to have to reach out to you because I got some real estate questions for you. Cause sure. Henry implores me to keep my California property as a rental while I go to Idaho. Cause I'm going to be moving. He tells me not to sell it and I'm not going to. So I might need your advice.
I got Ray. Some students in Cali too.
All right. So I kind of want to summarize what I think you said to chop it up so everyone understands and we're on the same page. I think what's most important to take from what you said is basically if you don't have the money to start investing right now, what you need to do first is change your mindset. Start educating yourself, start putting the work in, and everything else comes with that. We talked about this, I think, an episode or two ago, but like rich people don't wear Gucci belts and stuff. Like they don't wear all their money or necessarily drive like real flashy cars. I've been embarrassed about my truck because I'm like, I know my buddy Ray thinks this is a bad purchase because it is. But, you know, once in a while you have a nice thing. I actually remember when Ray made me feel bad about playing softball. Remember that? He's like, I don't got time for shit like softball, bro. I'm just grinding. But really, like, another thing I've heard a lot, because I listen to real estate podcasts as well, and it's like house hacking is a big one. Mm-hmm. But the sacrifice with house hacking is like you're going to live in a modest place where you share a wall with a tenant. The benefit is they're going to probably pay your whole mortgage. So you're basically living for free. But that's a major way that people get started. But it all comes back to like changing your lifestyle, humbling yourself and educating yourself and putting the work in. Is that what did I understand correctly?
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, in American culture, and you guys, this is good to know, 2/3 of America GDP is spending, right? America is a spend country, right? The ones who can save will be the ones who can win, right? The ones who can invest are the ones who can win. There is no need. And when I came here, if you look at pictures of me before, I would look super rich and I had no money in my account. Mm-hmm. Right. I know a lot of people who live like that.
Yeah.
And I told myself, you know, I never want to be like that. I'm not that guy. I want to have money in my account. And it became like, you know, stop looking rich and start figuring out what rich really means. And so I got around people that weren't impressed by name brand clothes. They weren't impressed by the vehicle you drive, you know, and the town we live in is actually kind of a blessing for me too, because what's a nice car? A nice car is something that's, you know, 2010 and better, right? A really nice car is 2020, right? If it's a Toyota, it's a nice car. It gets you from A to B. You know, that's what a nice car is, something that gets you from A to B, right? Clothes, something that, you know, don't have any rips. I don't care about the brand as much as I care about the quality, you know? So understanding like, hey, all right, I want something decent quality, but I don't really care much for the names. I'm not here to impress anyone else. And I think a lot of people live on, and that's where it gets to changing your circle too. A lot of people are in that circle where, you know, and you know, my wife, she's in that circle sometimes with her friends. They want, you know, nicer things. And it's just like, look, there's delayed gratification of certain things, right? We're in a position we're in our life because we've sacrificed some stuff. So sometimes it's totally cool to, you know, to treat yourself, but don't get caught up treating yourself.
We had a whole episode about that. We know some people that make a good amount of money and they are paycheck to paycheck and they're stacked in credit card debt because of the whole keeping up with the Jones thing, because of the picture that looks good on the outside, because my buddy has this truck, so I need this. And we have,
America has the highest debt we've ever had, ever, through Americans. So just think about how many people are financing their life for future dollars.
Yeah.
They look like they have it, they don't. And guess what happens when their lifestyle falls through? The people who really have the money get a chance to pick it up.
This is getting me fired up because I love that mindset, man. I absolutely love it, dude. For me, I learned it by self-experience, by when I bought Shiny Thing never felt like filled the cup. And it was why am I buying Shiny Thing? And it was to impress other people, right? And so when I got in, I'm really big into like stocks and the stock market. I did a bunch of research on that. I'm fairly successful at with it. The book The Millionaire Next Door was a great one for me, right? Was a great one. And it goes over exactly what we just talked about, right?
Yeah.
The person wearing the same ripped Levi's and the same blue shirt every day got way more money than the guy driving around in his flashy car and his Gucci belt. And I can promise you that almost 99% of the time.
Yeah. And I've become the person who dresses that part. Henry, you see me, and whenever you see me, Henry, you'll never see me in any flashy clothes. Right?
That shirt probably cost you like $8. Because you bought it in bulk. For real, I'm not talking shit.
I got the summer style. I got the summer style quality.
But yeah.
I wear clothes because I have to wear clothes, right? I don't wear like flashy name brands. Sometimes I have some like higher end stuff, but I bought it just because, you know, or I bought it because it was convenient at the time. I don't really go looking for that. I have brands that I like to wear that feel comfortable. My pants are nice. I like that. But I don't dress. If you saw me, you wouldn't know I have money. I could walk in a room. Honestly, when I go to public speak, there are guys that wear suits and ties, not me. And I tell people that I won't. If you book me, and if anybody listening, you're not going to book me, you're not going to get me with a suit and tie. I won't change because this is who I am. This is my representation. I'm not going to portray an image to people. Average people that look average, they have money. They're successful. And I think for a long time, we've been misled through, you know, newspapers and articles and some social media that, hey, I got to dress in a suit and tie. And we look up to those people in suit and ties and collar shirts. But really, the average Joe has an impact. Your average listener, I don't care how much money you have in your account right now, you have the potential to have an impact.
That just shows a level of self-confidence and being comfortable with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you mentioned these people that you have to go do this stuff in front of are just people, and they're all worried about it too. And we've talked about that a lot. Like, we are the main character in our own show, but we're not the main character in everyone else's show. And we think everyone's worried about us, but they're really not. They're worried about themselves. This is what you were saying. Yeah. They're anxious. We think we're anxious because of what they think of us, but they're thinking about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get that confidence, and how do you carry that confidence to just be yourself?
So it's actually a crazy story, and I'll credit a lot to my upbringing. When I grew up, we grew up Jehovah's Witness, right? And if you guys know anything about Jehovah's Witness, one, I had to go knock at strangers' doors. I was 8 years old, knock, knock, knock at Saturday morning. I didn't get to watch cartoons or any of that. I was knocking on doors. So, of course, that's scary going to complete strangers' houses and trying to teach to them, all right? And then there was another part where we had to, I was probably like 10, 12, and I had to do like public speaking, and we got to go on a stage and read to people. And that, I would say, gave me some confidence. But it's just the understanding of like, look, these are regular people and I'm the expert in my life. If you don't like me, you're not my circle. Right. And that's okay. Not everybody on this earth is put here to like you or to agree with you. Or maybe some people might skip because they're like, oh, okay, this guy owns bars. Great. Maybe they might not think they get any value from this. Great. That's okay. But understand that my purpose is higher than that. I'm not here for you to like me. I have a message. And if my message comes across, it might not affect you, but it will affect somebody. Yeah. You know, and May, I'm going to speak. I think the crowd is like 2,500 people in Toronto, Ontario, right? And it's the biggest real estate conference. And, you know, there'll be some big names. Jordan Belfort, Elena Cardone, Mark Hedjavec. He's one of the sharks on Shark Tank, right? Mm-hmm. I looked at the profile of every speaker. And they're all wearing suits. Guess who's going to be in a shirt? Regular t-shirt, same shirt I wear every day in front of 2,500. Yeah. And guess what I'm going to tell them? This is me. I don't have to wear a suit. I'm not going to. And it's okay to be you, right? It is okay to find a new circle and find people that appreciate you for who you are.
Dude, I love that so much. I love that so much, man. Because it speaks our language, man. It's being comfortable in your own skin and not giving a shit what anyone else has to think or say about it. And if we can look in the mirror and be okay with the reflection, then that's all that really matters. Yeah. And nothing else does. Nothing else does. So I'll refer back to our question. What's your favorite type of investment? Because like you said, I heard restaurants and bars and things like that.
So I don't really invest in the restaurant bar space anymore. Bars particularly, I don't really drink, right? I think life is about journey. And I went through a phase of like, okay, I want to be out party. I was young, dumb, I was 21, 22, 23. I'm 34. I got kids now. Being in a bar, you know, having to work that job is just something that does not align with where I want my life to go, right? So I prefer real estate more. And, you know, I invest in, I have single family, multifamily. I have, you know, mixed use, which is like commercial restaurant space on the bottom. I have, you know, industrial space, etc. And the biggest type of real estate I like to invest in now are the ones that have the most impact, right? The most impact on community. So right now, you know, my biggest push has been like Section 8 low income housing. There's really a need for it. You know, your reward and your bank account is based on how much of a problem you solve. And I didn't know that at the beginning. I always told myself, hey, if I got money, I'm going to give back. And this was that was one of the things. I was like, look, if I ever get money, my family had been on Section 8. I know what it was like. We had housing that was subpar that they just stuck us in. And I told myself, look, if I ever had an opportunity, I'm going to build something for people that they can call home, right? That they're comfortable to call home and live in. And, you know, when I got that opportunity, that's what I started to grow. And now, you know, the projects I do now are passion projects. You know, we're building a 10, 15 unit housing for veterans, people with disabilities, you know, I'm giving back to the community, but I'm getting paid to do that. So it's just like a double bonus for me.
Doing the Lord's work, man. Good on you.
You actually got me a HUD tenant in my duplex.
How's that working?
Good. We got them in there. We got the HUD paperwork all. They got the lease and everything, and so far so good. I am learning that it's not all glory being a landlord, especially when you have two different people that literally live on top of each other. So that's been fun already, but that's a story for another day. I know that you are a very busy person. You got a lot of stuff going on all over the place. You got properties in various stages of being worked on and all that. So here's a selfish question, because I'm an ADHD and I'm not the best at organization. How do you stay organized? How do you keep track of everything? And how do you keep yourself motivated?
So I think that's one of the best. If you ever see me, I might have the Freedom shirt on, and it's because I'm free, right? I get to pick the type of work that I want to do that day, right? So that is very important to me. I've always been driven. I've always been passionate. If I'm going to do something, I want to do something. If I'm going to work somewhere, I want it to be something I'm passionate about, right? So, you know, real estate is something that I am passionate about. I've set up systems. So when I went to school at WVU. I went for 2 years. I didn't graduate. I dropped out. I went for industrial engineering. And what industrial engineers do is they make systems and they make things simpler, right? I knew how to do that without a degree. That was my passion. I knew how to make things simpler. And so now it became, hey, let me streamline and figure out the things that are important to me. So every day I keep a system of, hey, this is what's most important. This is what's least important. And these are the things I can delegate, right? There's not everything that you need to do, right? There are certain things that are important to me. My student calls, they're important to me. My family time is number one, right? My family time encompasses all. If you ask for time away from my family, I give you guys some time tonight, but we spend some quality time today, you know. But if you ask for time away from my family, it's very hard to get me to say no, right? It is very hard, or to get me to say, yes, I'll take time away from my family. It's very hard for me to say that. But I have these qualities of like, hey, I want to do this first, right? And so when my priorities. And then when it comes to, you know, the other things work related, I have a time for work. Right. So when most people work a 9 to 5, I'm focused at that time. I know there's times that I'm like, hey, look, I have to get this done. And I prioritize the things of I have to get this done. It's a priority. And then everything else, if it's not a priority, we'll kick it down and we'll do it later till it becomes a priority. But I've always been self-motivated and keep track of things that I need to do, tasks, etc.
We always ask our guests two questions. One of them will apply to you and one of them kind of doesn't, but I'm going to reframe it. Normally we ask our guests, what's your favorite part about recovery?
Sure.
But for you, what's your favorite part about life?
I'll go to recovery. I'll go to recovery because, you know, being homeless, I think was an issue that we faced. And, you know, I've been there twice. And my favorite part of the recovery was the mindset shift. And I don't know if this will apply to your people, but it was a mindset shift. Something has to kick in to say, I'm doing something wrong. I'm not where I want to be in life. Something is just not connecting with me, right? And notice that whatever situation you're in, one, is because of you. You have to accept that. It's because of me. And two, what am I going to do to change this, right? And I accepted those as my reality. Look, I'm here because of me, even when I was 12, right? What could I, and I was a kid, but it's not much I could do better, but I'm here because of me, right? What can I do now to make this better? So I think that plays a crucial part.
I've been meaning to ask you real quick before we do the next question. Was addiction part of, I know not your story, your parents or anything or your family?
No. And you know, my biggest addiction, I'll tell you, I was addicted to money. I'll be honest with you. That was my addiction. I didn't care about anything else. I wanted money. I was just like, all right, hustle, 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 hustle. Let's just get money. And then it became like, you know, I lost friendships. I lost relationships just because of that addiction. I didn't know how to love or how to show passion, compassion, because I was just focused on that. And it cost me. It did cost me.
So you know what, saying in that sense, you had a bad relationship with money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
At that time.
it can be a really big issue, man. Like people can worship it, yeah, right? It can become God. Mm-hmm. And like you just said, you can lose friendships, you can lose it all. And it seems like you had a really big paradigm shift, you know, by the way that you talk about your family, right? Like, hey, these are my non-negotiables. And I want to thank you for coming on and taking a little piece out of your family time, brother, because I know you're busy. So I'll get to our last question. What would you tell somebody who's struggling right now, Ray?
I think the biggest thing is get help, get that mentor, get somebody that shifts the culture in your mind. Like, find that resource. You know, when I was struggling mentally to get to that next level, I felt like there was no next level. There was no opportunity. That was it. I'm just here. I'm here. And I, you know, you get to a point where you just start to accept it as your norm and your reality. You know, and until you are ready to, one, you accept that there's something wrong, and then you try to find people who can help you, you're just going to be stuck in that situation, I believe. You got to surround yourself with people who are willing to help you get to that next level. And it might not feel like that. It might feel like, oh, man, I don't really want to be around this person. They're boring or they have nothing to offer me. But at the end of the day, if it's somebody that you know is living a lifestyle that you want to be at, get around that person. Do whatever it takes to be around that person. If you got to pay them, pay them. You know, if you take time away from the things you love because you want to be around that person to help you grow, do it. You know, sometimes it comes with sacrifice. So, and we always ask, how bad do you want to be successful? That's it. Whatever you're going through in life, how bad do you want to be successful? How bad do you want to escape what you're doing? You want to escape the rat race. If you're facing addiction, how bad do you want to stop? You can only do it if you want to, though. That's the problem. You have to want it more than anybody.
Facts.
So if you get to the point of like, okay, I want this now, right? What's your, and one of the things I always teach my students, right, when we get started is, what is your why? Why do you want to stop? Right? Face that. Look at that every day, whether it be your children, whether it be, you know, your health, your lifestyle that you're living now. What is my why? I do not want to be here anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Face that, and then that'll help you grow.
I love that, man. I love that. Great answer.
Everything you want is on the other side of that thing you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Besides Rich Dad, Poor Dad, because that's the number one that everybody always says,
yeah,
what motivational books or podcasts that you recommend?
Number one book, and it depends. Like, if you really want to get your butt up and get to the next level, Grant Cardone, The 10X Rule. Right. It's one of his staple books. It got me up, though. I mean, it woke me up to, like, you know what? I'm not thinking big enough. Right. And some of the listeners here, they might be ready to stop, or, you know, facing addiction, or they might be in a position. And it's just like, I'm not thinking big enough right now. Right. The steps I'm taking right now, or, you know, I might envision myself, you know, from not being homeless to having a small house. Don't think that small. Think, look, I want a mansion. How am I going to get there? Think bigger than what you're living right now, right? And that'll keep you motivated. I keep my goals. I got a whiteboard. It's out of the screen, but I keep my whiteboard back here. And every day on the backside of my whiteboard is my goal, right?
Yep.
That's how much money I want to have. That's the car I want to drive. That's, you know, everything that I want is on that whiteboard. What do I need to do to do it?
This has been awesome. I really want to thank you for your time, especially since we took the evening, which is normally the family time. Is there anything that you want to plug, or where can people find you? We'll obviously put your links in the description, but is there anything you want to promote?
You can find me on Instagram, Ray Glimp, RayGlymph. You can follow me and DM me if you have a question. I'll answer you back. So it's the easiest way to find me.
Well, right on, man. I appreciate you coming on, and it's been really motivational. And I've loved to see the parallels between, like I said, like a non-addict, a non-alcoholic, and somebody who's highly successful and is still getting after it, but the commonalities we all share. And I think a lot of our listeners are going to be able to see that. And I think this was a great episode. So thank you for your time, brother. And I wish you even more success, man. Keep doing what you're doing, man. I wish you the best.
I appreciate you guys.
You got me inspired. Yeah. Thanks for your time, Ray. I appreciate you.
Thank you. See you guys soon.
Later, man.
This is living proof. This is living proof. We say the 12 steps are just a living program and anyone could benefit from them. Ray has these values and look how well he's doing.
Dude, when he was talking, like I said, like he literally does it without even knowing he was doing it. right? he has those values, and you can see how that type of mindset transformed his life, right? Like just his overall outlook on like the one day at a time deal, right? Like, hey, I can't stress about these things over here, or that over here, or that I got today, and what the hell am I going to do with it? And he just grabs it by the balls and gets after it, and it's really admirable, bro. But I love the correlation, man. I thought it was going to be good, man, but it was great. It worked. So I'm excited for our listeners to hear it.
You know, and there's something else that's really interesting in this. We talk about self-confidence and believing in yourself, right? Well, I thought he would be a good guest, and I didn't know exactly why, but he was better than what I expected. And it's like, oh yeah, I knew this. I knew he was going to bring something like this. I didn't know it would be that good or it would relate that much, but something in me knew that this would apply and bring value to our listeners. And like I said, man, it was better than I expected. And I loved to hear him say, it's so funny because he was saying all these things that we say in recovery without having any experience in recovery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or our kind anyway.
Yeah. And there's something to that. There's something to that. Right. And I think maybe it's the transformation piece, right? Like he just picked up those natural principles somehow along the way. And like I said earlier, it there's something to that, right? There's something to that. Setting your goals. Like, we all get sober because we want better for ourselves and for our lives, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing that he experienced. Hey, he was homeless twice, and he sits there and he's like, I want better. And he made the changes to make it happen. And that's how we accomplish anything. So anybody struggling with recovery and substance abuse, or, you know, hey, you're tired of working your 9-to-5, like Ray was saying, like, dude, all these things are possible. It really does hinge on yourself. And once you realize that, the better off you'll be.
You have to want to be clean more than you want to be comfortable staying Amen. In the same shitty situation you've created for yourself. And I think I've been rolling around that take that I mentioned, which was about all these videos, which is our generation of millennials saying, you know, our parents made $1,000, or our parents made $12,000 a year, and a house only cost $3,000 and whatever. And all that's true. I don't want to take away from that. I think that, you know, the economy is absolutely fucked. We're put in a terrible position, and it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say that none of that is true, because it is true. But there are plenty of people doing just fine and getting by and figuring it out. So for me, I don't like to live in that victim mentality of, well, houses are so expensive, money's so low, I'll never be able to buy a house. You got to do something different. The other thing I see is like a lot of foreigners, you know, there's like this stereotype. They own like the 7-Elevens and stuff, right? All the gas stations. And it's like a lot of Americans, oh, there's no American dream. It's so hard. I can't do anything. But people come to this country with fucking $5 to their name, or come from New York City to Morgantown, West Virginia with 50 cents in their pocket, and rotate sleeping on the couch and the floor with their roommates and figure it out. Like, this is all figure outable. Man, I'm fired up right now.
Dude, and there is something to the 7-Eleven shop guys or any of these liquor stores, right? Like these guys live that life though, right? Like, you come from some of these things and like shop is life, right? Like, but hey, that was their dream and they made it happen. They made it happen. There literally is no excuse. There's no excuse. You are. It's like that what, early 2000s song, like, I'm my own worst enemy. You are your own worst enemy. You are the voice in your own head. I know I am. I can doubt the shit out of myself all the time. And the shitty committee can be running the show for quite some time. But like he's saying, anything is attainable. Anything is achievable. Henry and I are testaments to it with our sobriety and turning our lives around to where we are today. You may not get the $1 billion mansion on top of the fucking hill, and it doesn't need to be that. For whatever your vision of success is, go out there, grab it by the nuts, and fucking go get it. And if you're not willing to do that, then I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it because we're not going to play the small violin party. And Henry's great point that he made with these people coming over here from other countries. Well, why are they successful? Well, because they went there, they grabbed it by the nuts, like I just said, and they went and they fucking got it. So if you want to be sober, listen to this podcast, go to a meeting, hang out with sober people, and fucking do it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, but it is not impossible. And if you want to buy a property and eventually do what Ray's doing, fucking do it. Figure out a way to make it happen and make it happen.
Get started. That's the thing. That's you got to get started. And I'm going to own my shit right now. I'm speaking to myself because I'm not the best at this stuff either. I had to realize that when I would say I don't have time, but I watch TV for two, three hours every single night. I had time. I just wasn't choosing to do constructive things with that time. So that's why I talk about you have time for what you make time for. And it's not fun. It's not easy. And that's what he talked about, like sacrifice and stuff. That was a real story. I was like, yeah, I'm playing softball. He's like, man, I don't got time for that. I'm grinding. I'm hustling. And like, I think that's a little extreme. I even told him, I was like, listen, I'm an addict. I need outlets and fun, like, or I'll fucking go kill myself. Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. But I get what you're saying. I get the idea and I get the mindset. But I think that's like the biggest takeaway is the mindset. And I wanted to relate that for our listeners too, to be like, what is someone that like, what the fuck? I don't have $5,000. I don't have $10,000 to invest. It all starts like how do I want to say this? I'm trying to pull some shit out my ass.
Hyper-focused.
A snowball starts with one snowflake, baby.
There you go.
A snowball. A fucking snowman is just a bunch of tiny little snowflakes that all got put together.
That's right, dude. And you may not – the one thing I was going to interject was you may not have $5,000 or $10,000 yet, but how are you going to get it? How are you going to get it? It's there for you to go get. It's there for you to go get. And, you know, like I said, sacrifices may have to be made, but if you want it, go get it, man. Go get it. Heroes get remembered and legends never die. Follow your heart, kid.
Here's the other thing. I'll get honest real quick. I used to rap. I'm a really good rapper. I'm better than half the rappers on the radio, but you know what the difference between me and the rappers on the radio is? They tried harder. They busted their ass. They were knocking on fucking radio station doors and handing out their tapes and selling them out the trunk and doing a bunch of shit that I wasn't willing to do. Yeah. And it's that fucking simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, am I wrong, Cameron?
No, you're not at all. And it's following that dream. And I think that's what we're doing here with this podcast, right? Like there's a difference here. Like there's a sacrifice, right? Like Thursdays are the day and we get after it. And then the weekends we're editing and we're trying to book guests and we're trying to think of topics. And Henry's been really getting after it this week. I got to commend my co-host. He's been fucking grinding his ball sack off over there, dude, like making me feel real inferior. And I once I get off this sickness, I got to get after it. But, you know, there's going to be some changes because next week is episode 52. It's been 1 year of Rude Dude. So it's going to be very exciting. But we have some changes to the format, to the intro coming, a lot of really exciting things.
Well, and like Ray said, I've been working two jobs every day. All day at work, I've been listening to that Grow the Show podcast. Yep. So I've been studying for this job while I'm doing my other job. And a lot of changes are going to come, and they're going to come for the better. And listen, man, you have time. I work a full-time job. I do this podcast. I run the social media. I have an Airbnb. And I have a duplex.
When you itemize it out like that, doesn't that sound fucking crazy? And then some of our listeners can probably sit here and listen and be like, hey, what? I go to work and I go home. Well, there you go. You have some fucking time. Like that's my shit, right? Like if you want me to lay my like I don't even have half that. I don't even have that. But I got my two kids. I got my job. I got fucking gymnastics. I got food. I got dinner. I got bedtime. Do you know what I mean? Like somehow I find time though, right? We find time for what we want to make time for. You say it all the time. Yep. It's very important.
That's what I told you about the gym too. You were like, since I've had Grant, it's been hard. And I was like, you're right. I'm not saying it's not, but we have time for what we make time
and
for.
I made time for it too. See, I found time.
You did. Now you're feeling better. Yep. And I also say that too. I don't give myself enough credit. I'm very hard on myself. And I typed that up in a text to, I think, my dad. Just, I don't even remember why. And when I wrote it out, I was like, holy shit, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff to be doing. Like, hey, Henry, go easy on yourself, bud. Look at you. You're fucking kicking ass. You want to tell yourself you're not shit and you don't fucking do shit and you're lazy and this, that, and the third? That's a lot of stuff, dude.
Yeah.
But like, give yourself a little credit. Yeah. Pat yourself on the back. Recognize that you're doing it.
Dude, and I'm gonna give the governor a harumph on that. Yeah, dude, pat yourself on the back, dude, because you know what, dude? You really are doing it, man. From vodka swigging fucking Henry out in California, fucking, you know, just doing nothing. When you fast forward 6 years and you just rattled off that list, why don't you do it again? And by the way, you're on your way to go get married in fucking Greece, bro, wearing fucking short suits, right? Looking like a pimp, getting ready to tan your thighs, okay? So you're doing a lot of things, and you need to be nicer to yourself, but it's...
I got them, you know, I got them Shein short suits, baby.
Hey, you should see Henry. Henry's tuning me on the text, dude. He's got 7 different Shein short suits. He's ready, dude.
Seven of them.
Dude, I'm going to ride over there on a fucking octopus, dude. I got to see it live and direct.
And here's the payoff too, not to brag, but let me tell you why else I say that, because somebody listening to this right now in early recovery might think that shit is impossible for them. And let me tell you something, 6 years ago, I did too. But we share these things because this is possible for you.
Yep.
This was impossible for me when I was in the throes of addiction. And if I can get this and do what I've done, then so can you. This is that hope we talk about. Yep. This is that shit that we like, okay? You can do this. It sounds like a lot, but you can do it too. And that's what we want for everybody.
Yeah, and I'll go right back to the snowball reference that you made with the snowflakes, right? It doesn't happen overnight.
Brick by brick.
Yep, it doesn't happen overnight. First, you got to take that first step, get yourself right. Then we got to figure out our goals, and then we got to go and we got to attack it one step at a time, just like we take it one day at a time. And I think that's a great way to end this episode, bro. But I'm very proud of you, by the way. You do a lot of shit. You are a hustler. You definitely got the super boss gene, bro, because you get after it.
Do you know how you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
Motherfucking right, boy.
Okay, I was about to say, dude, I was super nervous that you're gonna throw me like some like mouse fucking rigmarole or some shit. Yep. Okay,
that's it,
dude. That's
get the hell out of here.
All right,
with my stupid ass snowflake and a snowman.
Do you want to build a snowman? You like my sick snowman voice?
One flake at a time, bitch.
It'll take some fucking time, but you can do it if you are patient. Yeah.
All right. We have one ask today. One ask, one simple thing that we need you to do. Go follow the TikTok. We're putting a lot of work into pumping out content. We're going to do some original content that's not the show. And that's what we want you to do today.
Yep. The rest of it is
Rude Dude Pod on TikTok.
Yep. Okay. So next week, before I get into that, I want to thank Ray one last time. Thank you for coming on, brother. That was a great episode. Fired me up.
That's awesome.
Fired me up. So next week is episode 52 of the Rude Dude Podcast. We have successfully made it one full ass year, and it's going to be a party. So next week, you guys are going to be in for a treat. Yes, I'm going to be wearing Car Wheels Across Africa, baby. I'm going to be wearing fucking a balloon hat. It's going to be wild. So
I'm going to be booty butt naked twerking on my chair with my ass on the camera.
It's going down, dude. Hey, maybe, dude,
this is gonna be a good time.
Hopefully the pantsuit show up, dude. Maybe you can slap one of those on.
We're going to bring some value, and we're going to bring some fucking laughter.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be a good time. If you want to feel good, tune in next
week.
For
sure. All right.
If you like smiling,
listen to us.
Tune in next
week. All right, dude. Well, I will finish it like I always do. I love you, Hen, very much. Be nice to yourself, you dickhead.
I love you too, Cam. And remember, that thing you want is on the other side of that work you don't want to do. And just like Ray Glimp does, be yourself. Wear a fucking t-shirt to speak and fuck what they think.
This is going to be kind of hard because I'm sick, so we're going to try it again, dude. It might be a cough attack.
Come on, truck boy.
Later, dude.
Nailed it. Come on and see you with the music. I'm here. Come on and up, puppy, then boy, the lyric was so right. Oh, oh.
I check it.